Hi, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson from Port Orleans Riverside at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. And you're listening to Stories of the Magic.
Welcome to Stories of the Magic, an unofficial Disney podcast with your host, Randy Crane. Hear stories from Disney cast members, Imagineers, artists, and more right here on Stories of the Magic. And now, here's your host, Randy Crane.
Welcome to Episode 4 of Stories of the Magic. I'm Randy, your host. Thank you for joining me. A special welcome today to our international listeners. This week, we have a guest I've been very much looking forward to sharing with you. Yeehaw Bob, from the River Roost at Port Orleans Riverside in Walt Disney World. Yeehaw Bob Jackson is a pianist, entertainer, and comedian who's been featured at Walt Disney World for more than 15 years. With a show that features great sing-alongs and fast and furious piano solos, Bob's main gift is to draw in and engage audiences of all ages. In this episode, Yeehaw Bob tells us about his show and how he started it there at the River Roost Lounge more than 15 years ago, some of his CDs, volunteering at Give Kids the World, and more, including the question he never gets asked, until now. After a brief word from one of my podcasting friends, it's time to turn the page and start this story.
Have you ever wanted to share something with someone just because?
Well, we do. A lot. So we started a podcast about, well, whatever we want. My name is Joyce.
And I'm her lovely husband, Al. Well, you know what I mean. And we're the hosts of the Disneyland podcast, Tales from the Mouse House.
And the Amazing Race podcast, Fast Forward.
And I'm one of the co-hosts of the MASH 4077 podcast. And you'd think with all of these podcasts, we'd run out of things to share. But then you'd be wrong. In our new show, Just Because, we're going to share all the things that, well, just don't fit into any of our other podcasts.
Yep, like videos of our puppy Kate as she plays with the water bottle. Mm-hmm. Maybe some episodes chatting about one of our favorite TV shows.
Like Lost?
Uh-huh. Or maybe an audio play Al has written.
And we'll even have episodes contributed by others who have something to share but just don't want to start their own podcast. You never know what you'll find on this show. Why?
Just because. Visit us at justbecausepodcast.com and
in iTunes.
Just because. And now, this week's interview on Stories of the Magic.
What do you associate with Walt Disney World? Fun? Family time? Great entertainment? High quality? Music? Laughter? Not so coincidentally, these are the very same things I associate with this week's guest, Yeehaw Bob Jackson. If you've been to Walt Disney World and never been out to the River Roost Lounge at Port Orleans Riverside to see Yeehaw Bob, then you've missed out on one of the great Walt Disney World highlights. Yeehaw Bob is incredibly talented, a ton of fun, and a really wonderful person, as you're about to find out. Please welcome to Stories of the Magic, Yeehaw Bob Jackson.
Hi, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson, and I want to give a big shout-out to all my friends listening to Stories of the Magic and my good friend Randy Crane. Hello, Randy Crane.
Hello, Bob. Thank you for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
To get started here, could you tell me a little bit about how you got started working for Disney and what you do there?
Well, I moved to Orlando in 1991, and I went to work at a place called Rosie O'Grady's. You know, we had a great horn section, and some of the horn players worked out at Disney. And they invited me to come out and audition to play the keyboard, play the piano, at the Diamond Horseshoe Review. I'm going to guess this was probably about 1994. And I was accepted as a sub, and I started there as a sub there at the Diamond Horseshoe. And I went through three different permutations of that show. And I've subbed all over Walt Disney World at all the different parks. And I was playing at a big piano bar here in Orlando. It was called Blazing Pianos. And I knew the piano player there at Port Orleans Riverside. He was getting ready to leave for Las Vegas. I said, Bob, you should come on audition for this piano bar out at Port Orleans Riverside. And I went out and looked at it. It looked like it would be a fun place to perform. And I auditioned, and that was more than 15 years ago. I've been on this little stage there at Port Orleans Riverside for more than 15 years, and it's just been a great run for me, and I hope to be there another 15 years.
I hope so, too. So you said you've worked several different places there at Walt Disney World. Is what you're doing now your favorite thing that you've done, or is there one of the others that maybe you really even enjoyed more?
Port Orleans Riverside is such a fun job. I couldn't make up a more fun performance venue for me. It's just the right size, and it has everything I need as a performer. It's got a great support. I have a nice piano. Everything is just perfect for me as a small room, as an entertainer. I've enjoyed all the places I've performed at Disney. I've played at Coco Corner. Played the ragtime piano at it over there. I was a sub at the Tarzan's Head Show. That was a really exciting piece of business. I've played at the American Pavilion over at Epcot. I've played, all the parks. And they're all fun. But there at Port Orleans Riverside, where I've been for the last 15 years, that is by far the most fun place for me to perform.
About how big is the room? How many people do you usually get in there for a show?
Well, the sign on the door says, I believe it's somewhere around 132, but we'll get on New Year's Eve and some of our very busiest nights, we'll get more than 300 in there.
Wow.
Yeah, it can be very busy. It's not like that every night. Most nights we will probably have 130 people in there. Well, there'll be several deep at the bar. All the seats will be full. They'll be standing around in the back. And so we'll probably get about 130. It's just a nice little venue for an entertainer to perform.
That sounds great. For people who don't know, or maybe who just haven't been there in a long time and somehow have forgotten, and I don't know how that could happen, can you tell us a little bit about what your show is like?
I put on a family sing-along show. It's all audience participation. Kids are welcome all night long. And every song I do has something in it for the audience to participate in. And it's just a lot of fun, and it appeals to people of all ages. I'll have people there 3 years old. I'll have 90-year-olds. I'll have people there that don't even speak English. I have people all over the world, and I have to be able to reach out and pull them into the show. And that's what we do there at Port Orleans Riverside.
It's a rare gift to be able to do that. What do you love most about what you do?
I love the interaction with the people. I love watching the smiles. I love watching the people have fun. There's nothing more fun for me than to you get immediate reward watching these people have fun. And that's what it's all about for me as an entertainer.
Awesome. So obviously you interact with a lot of guests every night that you're doing the show. Do you have any favorite stories of a guest interaction, either something that you did that really seemed to be special for the guest, or something maybe that they did for you that really made some magic for you?
Well, every night there's something that happens in that room that's just extra special, whether it's without going into a lot of details. But every night there's something that's going on that I try to talk to almost everybody in that room. I'll do a meet and greet before the show, and I'll go to every table before the show starts. And if there's a birthday or an anniversary, or if there's something that special that needs to be addressed, I'll have all that with me before I sit down at the piano. I will have already talked to 30, 40 people before the show even starts. And the first show goes for an hour and a half. I sit there and perform for an hour and a half before I take a break. And then I do a 15-minute meet and greet. I don't take a break from the time I walk into that room until the time I'm walking out. I go nonstop from the time I start until the show is over at midnight.
Wow, that's amazing. As someone who's been on stage and performed myself a few times, I know it's tiring because you give so much to the audience. And so to be able to sustain it for that long, I'm impressed, I've got to say.
I go for almost 3.5 hours.
That's amazing.
I've always been a hyperactive person, and I've just been able to find a way to make a living with this hyperactivity.
That's great. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to find a way to do that themselves. Now, back to when you started, you talked about kind of the mechanics of how you got started working for Disney and working there at Walt Disney World. How did you get interested in working for Disney?
Well, it's the big kid on the block here in Orlando. It employs 55,000 people. It's a wonderful place to play, wonderful place to work. You know, it's just a great place to – I've played Universal. I've worked at SeaWorld for years. I've played at those other parks. And Disney's by far the nicest place to work.
Did you have a love for Disney in particular before you started there, or has that more developed over the years of being there?
Well, you know, I've always admired, looked up to their everything they've ever done, but I've never really been. This might be anathema, but I really wasn't a big Disney fan. But I just love to work there, and the people are very special. Everybody that comes is there's something about everybody that comes out to the show that I really find very interesting.
Great. Obviously, what you do is important to a lot of people. I mean, I know people who, when they plan their trips, going to your show is the first thing they put on their itinerary, and then they sort of build everything else around that. So, obviously, it's really special to a lot of people, and they keep coming back time after time. When was the first time, or has there been a time that you remember thinking, I'm doing something really special here?
Well, I don't really think about that. When I walk in, I give myself a pep talk every night when I'm getting out of the car. I'm going to walk in there, and I'm going to put on my very best show. I'm going to reach out to as many people as I can. And I try to remain, and I do. I'm very humble about what I do there. It's not about me. It's all about the audience. It's not about me. What I'm doing is not special. The people are special.
And what you're doing is just providing a way for that specialness, that extra something that the people who come to your show already have, kind of providing a way for that to come out and them to see a side of themselves that maybe they never had or hadn't in a long time and really touch that again.
That's fun. I don't really try not to think that deeply about it. I walk in there and just try to put on my very best show. And really, I don't understand why these people find it so amazing, but they do. And I just am just this big maniac. I mean, I'll break anywhere from 3 to 4 strings a night on the piano. My weight,
wow.
My weight fluctuates 3 pounds from when I walk in to when I walk out. I'm just this maniac on this stage, and I'm just lucky that they like it.
It's incredible. You go out, you have fun, and then everything else just happens.
That's it.
That's great. Now, I've seen on your website that you also have several CDs available.
I got about 7 or 8 of them. I don't even can't even remember how many I've got.
Okay. Can you tell me a little about those, or maybe just about your favorite one, or one or two, whatever stands out to you?
I love every one of them. The last one I made was a children's CD, and I got to laughing so hard I would have to turn the recording machine off because I used 4 different character voices. And it was just such a funny piece of business to make. And I would just be laughing. I made myself laugh so hard that I would have to turn that machine off. And it was lots of fun. I played the tuba and I played the spoons, the piano, and I've got these 3 ridiculous characters that are on it. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I've got the female is Brunhilde, and she wears a Viking helmet, and Gus has a big long beard. There's pictures on my webpage of these people, And Elvis, I've got a character named Elvis, and he's got an Elvis wig and sunglasses. And it was just a real fun piece. And my original music, I've got a new CD coming out this fall of all my own original music, and it's all real pretty music. And I've got a gospel piano CD, and I've got a live CD of the show. I've got a Christmas CD. The one I put out 2 years ago was all ragtime and stride piano from the 1920s and 30s, which I've always been interested in. I'm left-handed, and I just love this stride piano. My piano teacher, Dick Hyman, was a real good stride piano player, and so I've always been interested in that. So all those CDs are available on my website, but I love each and every one of them. It has just been a real joy to record. And my new one that'll be out this fall of all the original music is going to be a lot of fun to make as well.
Good. Yeah, it sounds like I did look at the photos and the things on your website with the characters and everything from the children's CD, and it does look like just an absolute blast. For people who don't know, who maybe aren't familiar with piano, like me, for example, what is stride piano? You were just talking about that.
A stride piano is, if you back up an extra 10 years, ragtime goes. Boom, chink, boom, chink, boom, chink. And ragtime goes. It just mixes that left hand up, so it's going bump, ba, bump, 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 bump. There's no strict rhythm to that left hand. It just goes back and forth like a maniac.
Okay, so it kind of switches up what the left and the right hand, their usual roles in some ways. Instead of the left hand playing the chords and the right being a little freer, the left hand gets to be more free.
Exactly right.
Okay. Great. I learned something new today. Yeah. There you go. Now, of all the CDs that you talked about, the one that caught my attention was your Bob Plays Your Gospel Favorites CD. Can you tell me maybe a little bit more about that one?
Well, I played in church for the I've been the piano player up at this little church here where I live for the last 19 years. And these are all feature piano solos that I have played at some particular point in a service over the course of these years. I'll be up there tomorrow for the 4th of July. Tomorrow's the 4th of July. We're recording this on July 3rd. I'll be up there tomorrow on July the 4th to play a service. And all these, they're actually my favorite gospel pieces. So it's a little misleading when I say plays your gospel pieces. They're actually my favorite gospel pieces.
Okay. Was it difficult for you to select just how many you could fit on the CD, or was there pretty clear, these are my top 12 or 10 many on there?
I could keep going. There's lots and lots and lots. I could record another gospel CD. I love all those old songs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I also saw on your website that you've been performing once a month at Give Kids the World. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I have a friend up in Geneseo, New York, Dr. David Parfit, who's very involved in fundraising and everything for this Give Kids a World. He's a professor up there at the university, SUNY, Geneseo. And I've flown up last year to perform at a fundraiser, and I'll be up there again this year at a fundraiser for Give Kids a World. And he brings kids down every year work at Give Kids the World on their college spring break. And this last year, while they were there, he invited me out to perform. And one thing led to another. And now I've been out once a month to perform. I was out there just last week to perform at the Gingerbread House. I don't know if you know where the Gingerbread House is, but it's a nice thing to do. And then I've performed at a couple other places out there. So I love to play out there. If they take me a month at a time, and if I'm invited back next month, that's where I'm going to go.
Great, wonderful. Yeah, Give Kids the World is a fantastic organization, and it's a great place. I volunteered there once, not performing, but just helping out, and it's such a special place. So on behalf of them, I thank you for doing your part there.
Well, thank you
for what they ask. Now, I know you've done some other interviews from time to time, I have no doubt. I've seen and read a couple of them. But of all of the times that people ask you questions before and during your show and in interviews and things, what do you never get asked that you wish people would ask you?
Well, that's a good question. You know, they've asked so many different things. I was trying to think. You posed that question to me earlier this week, and I'm trying to think, well, you know, nobody's ever asked me what kind of music I listen to during the day, and I would probably have to tell you that I listen to a lot of classical music, and I practice a lot of classical music. I practiced today. I practiced more than an hour and a half. I was sat here at this piano, and I'm memorizing another Bach prelude. So I play a lot of classical music when I'm at home, and I pretty much listen to classical music exclusively when I have my spare time.
Really? Who's your favorite classical artist?
Oh, really, whoever I'm listening to at the moment. My mother's side of the family was Hungarian, so I love all the Hungarian composers. I love Bartok, of course, Chopin, Liszt. I love I'm especially caught up. I've always enjoyed all of the arts from the early 1900s, architecture, the music of Stravinsky, architecture of Kandinsky. I love all of that from the early part of the last century. And I love, of course, I love Mozart and Beethoven, Bach. How can you not love them and Vivaldi? But I suppose, I love Smetana. But probably the favorite as a pianist, I probably love Chopin the most, and most piano players do. He was a real piano player.
Interesting. Okay. Good. Any other questions that come to mind?
Oh, that's about it.
That's the biggie, huh?
Well, you know, most people, I love to exercise. I love to cook. You know, I swim or I ride the bike at least 10 miles a day, or I'll swim laps for an hour. And I love to cook and practice. And then, of course, all my correspondence. I write everybody back that writes me. So I usually have 30 to 40 letters I have to respond to every day from people from all over the world. So that's how I spend my days.
Sounds like a full, productive, but fun days.
Yeah, it's fun.
And speaking of fun, before we get a little deep here for a couple questions, I got to ask, in your shows, do you have a particular favorite song that you perform in your shows?
I've got a couple. I usually start my second set off with Rhapsody in Blue. I love to play that one. It's a challenging piece of music. I usually start my sets off with some type of piano feature. My third set, I'll start with either Carolina Shout by James B. Johnson or The Finger Buster by Jelly Roll Morton. Sometimes I'll play Malacuena. I love the big piano pieces. Those are probably my favorite things to play.
Okay. What do you usually get the most audience reaction from? Is there one that's just always a crowd favorite?
Well, I usually have them wound up on the first song. And they stay at a fever pitch pretty much for the entire hour and 30 minutes, that first hour and a half. I pretty much have people jumping up and down. I get them running around the room, spinning, jumping up and down on one foot, spinning circle. All kinds of things. You would have to see it to believe what you could actually get people to do if you have a microphone.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And, you know, people can watch videos. I know you've got a couple on your website and things like that. But it's just not the same as being in the room when those kinds of things happen and hearing the music and just being part of the experience.
That's fun.
To get a little deep here, what inspires you?
What inspires me? Well, I love a good piece of classical music. I love to hear something by Stravinsky or Copland. I love to look at Picasso's paintings. I love to meet the kids. The kids are the most fun. I love kids. Right now I'm playing all 15 libraries in Orange County. I've been hired by the county. I've written a children's show, and the county's hired me to go out and play at all 15 public libraries. And yesterday I had 160 kids at a downtown inner city library And that was lots of fun. So the kids are really fun for me to go out and play. So I love all that stuff. I love to travel. We lived abroad for many, many years. We used to work. My wife sang with me, and we lived out of Helsinki, Finland, and Stockholm. I don't know how many years, 12 years at least. I love to go. I love to travel. I've performed down in Brazil at a music festival. I just love to go. So there's lots of places and lots of opportunity to be inspired and meet new and interesting people and see some really fun things.
That's wonderful. It sounds like with especially those travel opportunities and just being able to find that inspiration all around you is fantastic. Yeah. And you know, I know there's a lot of people who aren't as good at that. Maybe they're probably just out of practice.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
That's true. Now, speaking of inspiration, you know, I'm sure that there are people listening who have their own dreams. Maybe it's to work for Disney. Maybe it's to play piano. Maybe it's to just be able to use their hyperactivity as a career, you know, whatever it might be. What would you tell that person? What do you want them to know?
I tell them to find what you're good at, what you have a passion for, and go with that. I have a real passion for entertaining. It's my passion. I love to entertain. There's lots of people that play the piano better than me, but I have a real passion for entertaining. I just love to entertain people. It's my passion. So find your passion and figure out a way to make a living at it.
Great advice. Absolutely great advice. Thank you. So you've got your show, to kind of wrap up here on this question, you've got your show there at the River Roost Lounge at Port Orleans Riverside. And for people who live in the Orange County, Florida area, you've got the performances at the libraries you were mentioning. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention or promote? Your website, shows, how people can connect with you maybe?
Well, that's good. I've got my website is YEHAABOB.com, yeehawbob.com. You can find me on Facebook and, of course, the CDs, but I'm not that anxious to sell them. If somebody wants them, there they are. But I would love to hear from anybody. I always write everybody back and encourage everybody to come out to the show. It's free to get in there at Port Orleans. And I'm there Wednesday through Saturday. Show starts at 8:31. And I usually knock off at 11:46, and kids are welcome all night long, and you just come on out, and we'll just hoot and holler and make the best of it.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you very much, Bob, and I appreciate you taking the time.
We love you, Randy. Oh, yes, we do. We love you, Randy. Stories of the magic.
We love you, Randy. Stories of the magic. Oh, magic, we love you.
Have you ever experienced uncontrollable bouts of geekdom? If so, the Anomaly Podcast may be right for you. In clinical studies, Anomaly's interviews, convention reports, commentary on geek culture, games, sci-fi and fantasy television, literature, and film provided a feeling of fullness while promoting health for optimal geekiness. The Anomaly Podcast is not suitable for all people. Only geekily active cool chicks with a healthy sense of humor should listen. Geekily active cool guys should listen too. Anomaly has resulted in sudden fits of squee. Broad smiles may appear without warning and could become permanent. The most common side effects of Anomaly are unconsciously joining in the gamma quadrant golf clap, out loud, at work, to the amusement of coworkers, and attempting to interject opinions aloud to hosts who can't hear the listener. But in all cases, the benefits outweigh the risks. Ask your Anomaly if you're healthy enough for entertainment of this caliber. You don't need a doctor's messy handwriting to obtain a free subscription. Anomaly is available over-the-counter at Stitcher Radio and in the iTunes, Zune, and BlackBerry stores. You can also stream episodes of Anomaly and Anomaly Supplemental at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Just one one-hour episode provides 24 hours of relief and never leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Music by JewelBeat.com.
On September 22, 2004, Oceanic Flight 815 left Sydney, Australia, bound for Los Angeles, and crashed on a remote and mysterious island somewhere in the South Pacific. The survivors quickly realized this was no ordinary island.
The groundbreaking Emmy Award-winning drama Lost ran on ABC television from September 22, 2004 to May 23, 2010, and remains to this day one of the greatest television series of all time. Relive every moment of this amazing series as we reopen the hatch and take you deep inside each episode of this epic series. My name is Joyce.
And I'm Al. And on our show, Lost Flight 815, we'll cover each episode of this immensely popular series in a unique way. We'll watch the show as we record and share our thoughts and Lost facts while you listen to the episode with us.
So tune in to the Lost 815 podcast and visit us on the web at www.lostflight815.com and relive one of the greatest shows of all time.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at LostFlight815.
That brings us to the end of this week's show. A special thank you to Yeehaw Bob for being my guest on this episode, and to you for listening. If you've worked for the Walt Disney Company and would like to share a positive story, email me at podcast@storiesofthemagic.com or call me at 734-23-STORY. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, let me know. And if you're a guest of any Disney experience and had an encounter or an interaction with a cast member that made some extra Disney magic, or had any special Disney experience you want to share, I'd love to hear from you, too. In fact, have you been to one or more of Yeehaw Bob's shows? Let's hear about it. Call in or send me an email and tell me about your experience. If you like the show, please rate and review Stories of the Magic in iTunes. Those ratings help make the podcast more visible there so it's easier for people to find. And I'd love for more listeners to get to hear from these wonderful people. If you have any comments, questions, or other feedback, visit storiesofthemagic.com and leave a comment on the show notes for this or any episode. You can subscribe to the show in iTunes or on the website. Finally, please like the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/storiesofthemagic. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Stories of the Magic. There will be other days and other stories, but this tale is finished.
You've been listening to Stories of the Magic with Randy Crane. If you have feedback, want to share a story of your own, or even be a guest on the show, write to Randy at podcast@storiesofthemagic.com. Or call our listener feedback line, 734-23-STORY. And don't forget to visit the website, storiesofthemagic.com, for show notes from this and every episode, and to leave your comments. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, live your dreams and make the magic in your world.